Well, thank you, Brother Dan. And it's our pleasure and privilege to have Brother Dan Ledwinka come up and serve us for his second service. And it's a continuation of the first, and it's Metamorphosis Continued, or Metamorphosis Part 2. Brother Dan.
Thank you, Brother Aaron. We hope to make this part a little less tedious. It might be a little bit easier understanding than the first part. Brethren, once again from Columbus, my mother and father actually send their deepest warm greetings to all of you. And Joe and Sean, of course. Joe seems to be a regular here. And soon we're going to take one of yours away with us, so I guess we get back with you there. Sister Janan and Sister Rhonda send their love to you, and we pray that we look forward to seeing you at our convention. We don't have the programs out yet. They'll be out next month. So this talk was actually had a different title at Connellsville, but since I started with Metamorphosis, I used that same one again. But it was virtues developed voluntarily or mechanically, because the scripture in Romans 12:2 is about how we allow the Lord to affect our life, to change us. It's not what we do to change ourselves. It's what we allow God to do, because He expects us to put the effort forth. In other words, why would He waste His time on a being if we don't put the effort forth to change our characters? There is no reason for Him, because He's going to fulfill Christ's bride one way or the other. He will fulfill that, and shortly. So we have to change. The easy-to-read version of Romans 12:2 is, don't change yourselves to be like the people of the world, but let God change you inside with a new way of thinking. Then you'll be able to understand, accept what God wants for you, and will... Excuse me, sorry about that. Then you'll be able to understand and accept what God wants for you. And you'll be able to know what is good and pleasing to Him and what is perfect. That gives you a different understanding than just taking the Greek. Because the Greek is very hard to develop from unless you really take the scripture and sit down with it for a few days and tear it apart. Because the Greek has so much more depth to it. But in our language, we don't seem to have the terms that fulfill what the Greek does. So I'll read one more verse that is a simple way of looking at it, and that's the Weymouth version. And neither of these two versions really fulfill what Romans 2 says in one more version. And someone in this room has been studying this because they came up to me and said, you need to read Phillips. So this sister came up to me, and I really appreciated the thought, because that means she's studying to show herself approved and trying to understand what this transformation is all about. But I'll read the Weymouth anyway, and we'll get there. Do not follow the customs of the present age, but be transformed by the entire renewal of your mind, so that you will learn by experience what God's will is, and that which is good and beautiful and perfect. As our walk in Christ goes on, we look in that mirror every day, and we see the corrections every morning when we get up that we need to make. Are we making those corrections? Are we changing the things that the Lord is showing us by what we find that we fail at? Are we putting forth the effort? Because the conforming part is a lot easier. You don't even have to try. Conforming takes place almost behind the scenes in your subliminal, and you don't even realize how much you've changed to conform to what you see every day, depending on what you put your mind to. So the bottom line, I guess what I'm saying is, transformation isn't easy, takes effort, but the Lord looks at that and counts each of your effort as though you are going to make your calling and election sure. So all I can do is encourage you to keep your walk moving forward. Changed from glory into glory. 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all, with unveiled faces, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into that same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit. The question is, in what sense are we changed from glory into glory, as 2 Corinthians brings out? Once we're justified by faith, after we've stood at the gate and looked in and decided that we are being called and we are striving for the prize of the high calling, we see the labor. And we need to clean up. And that's that transformation work we're doing. We make a full consecration to the Lord. And we're made recipients of our future spirit to holiness, but the spirit of holiness that took place in a totally different way with our Lord Jesus Christ. His change was that fast. Our change is a lifetime. Small beginnings, big, big ending. And this video is a video that will express that a lot better than I could say it. But this time, if we could turn the music down just a bit so it's just in the background, maybe that would be a better option for everyone hearing and hearing me. So please work. This transforming, as we're about to see, is once again not an instantaneous work. It comes from a little seed, a little tiny little seed on a leaf that is so small, most of us couldn't see it happening. It's only on the milkweed. It only happens at a certain time of the year. But that little seed turned into this caterpillar rather quickly. Because once the seed is laid, it takes less than 3 days for this little creature to come out of it. This little creature is voraciously after food. And it's like our walk with the Lord. We have to continue to take the Lord into our hearts every day, if possible. Some of us have jobs. Some of us have other situations in life to do. But if you can, immerse yourself in the scriptures every day. Build that foundation. I can only suggest that you use the pastor's 6 volumes to start your walk. Those of you who are in your walk or at a later portion in your walk, I can only encourage you to keep up the good work. This transforming of our characters is to be more Christ-like in our minds, in our wills, our hearts, in our characters. This change will not be complete until our resurrection, but when we shall see him, we will be like him as he is. And oh, how special that'll be. To be fully transformed into the likeness of his character to our Heavenly Father, we have to have that consistent effort of every true child of God. It's not enough that we gain a knowledge of the plan. We have to make that knowledge our own, a pleasurable realization of his mercy and grace toward us, an unworthy race, and that we joyfully tell the good news and share that gospel message. And it's not enough even when we exert ourselves to a very uncommon passion to bless others in our day we live in with the good tidings for all. For we may do all these things and more, and yet if we do not let our Heavenly Father's goodness, grace, have its due effect upon our hearts, our transformation will never come to fruition. As this little creature just shed his skin, you can see he ate a part of it for nourishment. And he does this, I think, 3 times. He sheds his skin as part of his transformation. Once again, this transformation is not a transformation of nature. It is just a transformation from one little tiny insect or worm to a beautiful butterfly. But it does not any less show the picture of how our transformation takes place, but ours will be grander. The main object, therefore, in studying God's Word and His character as therein revealed should always be to bring our hearts and minds into a closer sympathy and likeness. And in cooperation with this, as the Apostle Timothy says in 1 Thessalonians 4:3, this is the will of God, even your sanctification, our full setting apart of our consecration vows of mind and heart entirely to the Lord. That's a hard thing to do in the day we live in, especially if you work in the world. It's something that has to be worked at by the moment. And for the moment that you don't work at it, something could come in to slow down your progress. And that's the hard thing to find as you go home or put yourself into a closet that day and pray to the Lord. You find out what things you need to change. And once again, His abounding grace takes effect. And if we ask for forgiveness, He forgives us, and we work toward that end. We start all over. In the above words of the Apostle, we notice particularly that the statement is made to all the church. We are being changed from glory to glory, and the interference is consequently a strong one. And those who are not being changed are not of this class addressed and don't even know it. This is a solemn thought, and one that claims the most careful consideration of all the consecrated. The question with us is not, have we made a full consecration of ourselves to the Lord? But having made such a consecration, are we in accordance with that consecration fully submitting ourselves to the transforming influences of the Spirit of God, to be changed by every effect in our life, how we react to our brethren, how we react to the people around us, how we react to everyday circumstances. Like the Apostle then addressed all the consecrated and faithful, we also day to day may say we are all being changed from glory into glory. One thing that affects each of us in our walk each day and can affect anyone, but especially elders, is pride. One can be a great elder and a great speaker or a great pastor, a teacher. But if pride comes in, pride takes the best away from that elder. Yesterday, the mallet of divine providence struck a blow. This is from Pastor Russell. He's speaking about pride. Yesterday, the mallet of divine providence struck a blow upon the member of the body of Christ in an unsightly outgrowth. The pride fell off, and he looks so much more beautiful today because he did not resist the blow, but gracefully submitted to it. The day before, we saw another under the wearing, painful polishing process to which patiently submitted. And oh, how he shines today. And from day to day, we see each other studiously contemplating the divine pattern, striving to copy it, and how we can note the softening and refining and beautifying effects upon all. So the Spirit of God is at work upon all who fully submit themselves. And pride is just one thing. But while the mallet continues to chisel and the polishing sand of divine providence do a very necessary part of transforming the work by way of relieving us of many old and stubborn infirmities of the flesh. We cannot be so promptly and so fully eradicated by the tender influences of the Spirit. The Apostle points us to the especially appointed means of our transformation and the careful and consistent contemplation of the glory that God is transforming us from and to be an ambassador for Christ from an embryo to the end of our walk, a spirit being. We will be death-proof if we make our calling and election sure. We cannot die. But our work is still ahead of us. With open face would signify without intervening veil or bias or fear or misconception, but with simplicity of heart and mind, we can behold His glory. And it's only because we get a chance to study every day and think about that glory and how we change ourselves. And to aid us in this study, we are promised the blessed influences of the Spirit of God that come upon us day by day. And as we learn and gain a new understanding for the Scriptures, it's amazing how it subtly takes place within us. As we look into the mirror, as we see before us in this caterpillar, I think he's shedding the last time now, our lives have got to almost become a cocoon when it comes to the Lord. But we're not allowed to be without influences from the world, because that's what trains us and takes us to the next experience that the Lord will use to invite us to take another step. He keeps taking our circle and making it bigger. And every day that we appreciate that next experience, we use that experience for the growth and growing faith that the Lord sees as we build upon our foundation principles, as we stated in our first discourse. If we could realize the true justice of God and have no assurance that His gracious promises would ever be fulfilled, for would we say perhaps that He will change His mind? God doesn't change His mind for us. He's always consistent. He's ever working toward the means of the bride of Christ, making that the honorable position of His Son's bride. Generation after generation, for 60 years, we've witnessed the differences in the brethren, for instance, from this ecclesia, as we've grown up, how the effect of what the Lord has granted you to go through in your lives, as I was a child, from there's some of the young ones here are, to now, I've seen your walks and how it's affected me, and how you've changed your characters from glory to glory. And while we think about this justice that God has, each one of us are different. And we have to learn this justice in many different ways. He deals with each of us as new creatures in a different way, because we respond differently. The underlying principle for each of us to take in consideration is our conduct, so that one day we change into the nature of a spirit being. And you see it occurring on the screen now, how this butterfly is transforming, and it has to work and work and work and work to get out of its cocoon. And until the end, we have to work, because that monarch now had to squeeze through the cocoon to to make all the juices flow down to the bottom of its wings in order to give it flight. And now, as you see from the first to the last picture, the butterfly is complete, and it can fly away and start its process all over here on Earth. So we see how the struggles of our consecration have to continue. They aren't just one day and we have it. There's few Stephens around us today, but there could be more. Stephen had a very short walk with the Lord and must have learned rather quickly. The next thing we learn is the mark of love and mercy of God. The death sentence upon our race was a merciful sentence if thought about. It's equivalent to saying, "You see, I have my own free favor granted you life and all its blessings to be enjoyed forever on condition of its proper use. But now, since you've abused my favor, I take it away, and you shall return to the dust from whence you came." True, we in the process of dying in our flesh and bringing forth a dying race like Adam had that penalty to live with. The mercy of God takes all that away in thinking about our future through our embryonic new creature. But those who see the plan of God discover that all of this is a wonderful decree from God to take us out of our daily walk of thinking about only our pains and sorrows and our work ahead, and to think about what the future will be like. Do you ever think about, not your night dreams, because everybody has those, and the night dreams don't really make a difference because we all have them and don't know what they're going to be about, but what do you daydream about? Do you daydream about being a spirit being? Do you daydream about thinking what you'd do if you were or had the privilege of being of the bride class? It's a wonderful thought to take your mind there. And as you look through the scriptures and you use the justice, the love, the power, the wisdom that's given us through the scriptures, the Lord gives us this privilege of what it will be like when we're there. But we really don't know because we're still human. But we inevitably keep trying to regenerate a new plan and regenerate what that thought will be in the future. We mark also our Heavenly Father's bountiful providences and His tender care for all His creatures. For even the sparrows are clothed and fed, and the lilies of the field. How do the scriptures say the lilies of the field are dealt with in life? How they spin. They don't have a care. They just are lilies. They're arrayed in glory. And here is a precious lesson of benevolence and grace. Thus, through all of the lists of the honorable and intelligent graces that God has given us through the many pictures of the lilies and other pictures, we can see through the mirror of the Word the divine model that we are to imitate and to contemplate as we daydream about being a spirit being, as He is embodied and all is pure. So every day when we do this, we're changed from glory into glory. So be it that we let the good work go on until every grace adorns our spotless robe, hopefully in the future, because every day we'll find a spot to work out. If we receive His blessed Son by faith and show Him the importance that we take and make about faith in our life, that portion of what God sees is what he's after. My son, give me thine heart. Study to show thyself approved. We were talking yesterday at Brother Aaron's and Sister Ann's about, we study the scriptures a lot. Do we study ourselves? And that's that transformation work. Do we take the time each day to study ourselves, to find out where we are making the changes? Or are we just conforming to the world, fitting the pattern that's not going to be consistently, thoroughly, progressive, gradual changes? Are we just going on day by day? And soon I'll put you to sleep if I keep going this way. Are we thinking about major changes that we have to make? The things we can no longer do, things that might seem right for everybody else. That's changing from glory into glory. The apostle adds in 2 Corinthians 4:7 that the fact that we thus hold this treasure of a transformed mind in this defective earthen vessel proves the excellency of the power of God and not of us. Once again, that's not what we do. It's what we allow God to do to us. And so by consistent yielding to the influences of the Spirit of God, we show forth the praises of him who hath called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. 1 Peter 2:9. Oh, let our efforts and prayers continually be that these poor earthen vessels may more and more show forth the praises of God. Let them be cleaned in the body and mind. Let no evil communication proceed out of their mouth. Let no actions unworthily come from what we do daily. Because we dishonor God when we do. We're living temples. We're supposed to be examples. We have a spirit, an influence from God that we can take advantage of. If we do not take advantage of it, the deformities become conformities. We then accept them. And we continue in imperfect works. And we don't accept the grace of God to change unless we see the evil as it comes about us. I'm speaking in roundabout terms, but I hope that the intent of the talk is to make each of you think of your walk. Your walk with the Lord is the most important walk. As we see the day go by, all the things on the news, we could spend our time listening to the news and becoming concerned about the president did this and this organization and the government did this and the money, you know, it's crumbling. When we see this crumbling occurring, it nonetheless depresses us, but do we use that to build the faith we need for the Lord? And then turn that off and go back and study yourself or the scriptures or both and make the changes that you have to do if indeed you're transforming this embryo new creature into, by the Lord's grace, from him to you, hopefully transforming into that beautiful butterfly one day, that beautiful new nature spirit being. Once again, the transformation in the new creature. Your new creature is a mindset, brethren. You still have the flesh. It's still here. We can say that we are guided by the Lord, but he's giving us these experiences to make this mindset move forward. Go forward. Change. Allow him into your life. Don't do the same things over and again that are conformance to the world settings that we're allowing in for influence. Use the scriptures and dig deep. If we're not diggers, especially into the scriptures, our metamorphosis cannot have a happy ending, as we see. Colossians 3:1. If then you have been risen or raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on the things of the earth. How do we do that every day, every moment we live? How do we put ourselves thinking about the things above when we go to work every day and we have to do our jobs every day? At the Connellsville Convention, I had the privilege of leading a study on basic aspects in our life that we can show and witness to those around us that we really care about the Lord and are taking His wisdom, justice, love, and power at every point and putting it to thought. A question was asked, how do we do it in our daily lives at work? And one said, a brother who worked in an auto factory said, well, when I took break, I took break for 10 minutes because that's how long break was. I didn't take it for 12 minutes. I took it for 10 minutes. And when I was called down from my fellow workers because I got up at 10 minutes and they called me the names, I said, I did it because that's what the justice of the Lord is about. He gave me 10 minutes. And I'm working for God. I'm not working just for this employer. I'm showing my Lord how I want to work for Him. So that 10 minutes, though it'd be a small thing, when you're working for your employer, that 10 minutes is 10 worthy minutes of a break, and it doesn't mean 20. The same way when you might be out flying around on a plane, I don't get to do much of that, but when you're out doing your work, going from job to job, do you show your employer how you account for everything on your expense account? Someone says, gosh, that has very little to do with the Lord. Oh, but does it? When your employer says, you've accounted for everything, I don't have to worry about your mistakes. Everyone's going to make those. No gross informalities are on this account. You get that trust. That's how you show the Lord about the justice. Or when we continue in Colossians, we consider the members of our earthly body. This is Colossians 3:5. We consider the members of our earthly body as dead. Immortality, impurity, passion, evil, desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. In our daily lives, when we go home, do we turn the TV on and watch the news? Is that the excuse we use for transformation? We're going to watch the news and become more aware of what's happening in the world so we keep track of what's going on? Or do we take the time and use that time that the news would take up and put it to worth? I personally am a morning person. I enjoy getting up early, or I used to. My wife says anymore, as I get older, it's a little harder to get you out of bed every morning, dear. And this morning was no different, by the way. But I like getting up in the morning and studying. Had the privilege of having Brother Alan Springer over. And he was telling me of how he studies in the morning, but he also studies in the middle of the night to go on so many of the other online meetings and to be with all the brethren. He wants to put the Lord first. He wants to immerse his life every day in the Lord. And with all the outside entities not there, it's a lot easier to figure out what's next if you can stay online. Being retired, many of you could do that. Fill your life with things that are pure and holy from the Lord. Fill your hearts with that. Because it's so easy in the conformity of life to not do that. And God's not pleased with that. He accounts for our time because he sees what we do with it. Is that just way of using our Father's time? Is that the break that took 20 minutes? Or are we just taking the 10 when we watch the news? We really don't need to worry about what's happening in the world. Oh, to some extent, yes, as we work through prophecies in different books of the Bible, especially Revelations, we can see what's happening with Israel, but we don't need to do it every day and fill ourselves with that. There's too many things that are negative that will draw us to a different point of view, and perhaps bitterness is one of them. Colossians 3:8 continues and says, "But now you also put them all aside, anger, wrath, malice, slander, abusive speech from your mouth." You know, anger and wrath, malice, slander, how much does slander work as you're transforming this embryo new creature? Hopefully it's not a problem with you or me. But nonetheless, where does Matthew 18 come in? How do we use Matthew 18 in our life? When I say Matthew 18, does everyone go? Let's not talk about that. Matthew 18 is there when we have problems with one another. We talk to one another. There's two easy steps here, and the third one, of course, isn't a good one. But Matthew 18 is for our good. And if used properly and honestly, it generates a more pure relationship with each of our brother. And so by doing so, the Lord sees through us, we're trying to be just and use wisdom with the Scriptures. So we're putting anger, wrath, malice, slander aside about our brother. Slander is like a murder. Do you ever consider that and contemplate how if you slandered someone else? And I have done it. I literally, in God's mind, murdered someone else's character. That's a murder. That's a heavy-duty statement. We can't take it lightly. Do you ever lie to anyone? I have. It's not a very good-tasting story. When you have your old self, by the traditions of today, conforming to evil practices are so easy. That little white lie. Well, is a little white lie any more than a big white lie? Is there any difference? Oh, we won't tell the truth about that. It's okay. Let's make it easy. We don't want to say it bad. No, it's a lie, brother. It's a lie. We have to take what's happening to us to the Lord and show Him. He sees all. He knows all. He has a knowledge of us and categorizes us by what we do. He created man. He created us in His image. He doesn't lie. Doesn't need to. The inordinate appetites of the flesh are the issues which we are not conforming to. We have to put these off. And it is a daily charge that we put them off. It is not according to our Lord's words. Seeing you have put off the old man with its deeds and have put on the new man, in Colossians 3:10, the consideration that we have by the profession of putting away sin and looking to be born. Once again, we are in the embryonic stage right now. Being born, a spirit being, takes a fortification of study, a fortification of understanding, and using the principles that the basic foundations in our first discourse were trying to bring out. And, brethren, I encourage you just to take that one scripture and take the vine's interpretation. Take it home with you. And as you have, just take one phrase, take conformed or transformed or the will of God, and start breaking it down for yourself in your life. You'll then see how putting off the old man is more of a work than ever before. All the evil thoughts that continually come into our minds are there against all the good principles we've learned throughout the previous years of our life. Some of the old in this room might say, you know, I've learned that lesson years ago when I was young. Do we ever relearn the lesson? We need to. That's that transformation, brother. Light is the first thing we think about when we think of a spirit nature. It's energy. It's positive energy, light. God is light. And that's what we strive for in the new creation, as it was in the first, or after the image of Him who created us. It was in the honor of man, in the innocence that He made us after His image. But it was lost in sin, and we're so far down the story of sin, some 6,000 years, that sin comes naturally, so naturally. Once again, it's that daily work. And words, when we talk about understanding that what the other person's talking about when understanding sin, Paul goes into about circumcision, for instance, or customs that others around us may have. And Paul breaks that apart in Romans 7 and 8 about, is the man a Jew if he's uncircumcised? Is he a Christian? What is he? Ask yourself these questions and put them in your mind as you have time to meditate on what your beliefs are and understand that you're building this new creature. What about fear and loss of a loved one? Is that ever a problem in your transformation? Do you have the faith that a loved one is beyond the veil? Do you have the faith that as you consider your brethren who've passed, you don't have to worry about the judging. You leave that up to God. Romans 8:15, for you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry out, Abba, Father, Abba, Father. This is the maturing character that we have to gain in order to become independent of sin. And if this process has a stumbling block within it, that particular problem is not pleasing to the Lord. We have to change. So we have to put off the cares of the world, the spirit of the world, being swallowed up from ambition and business. And myself personally, in owning a business, it is a constant daily pain to think about how the transforming work the Lord has taken the time to give me and owning a business are almost two separate entities. It is a work that I have yet to understand, but I pray every day, that ambition and business and pride will not overwhelm me, because it's an easy thing from a worldly aspect to let that take place in your life. And that could be, in my life, it's business. In your life, it could be being a good doctor, being a good teacher. It could be any number of things that each of us have to take as we walk with the Lord. Am I discontent in whatever state I'm in? I find myself that way at times. After listening to the news and, oh, the aches and pains of a couple bad knees and, oh, the back and, oh, this and, oh, that. And you start hearing stories and then it's like the last guy doesn't have a chance because his story wasn't good enough for yours. And pretty soon all the aches and pains really don't matter because it's the last guy that has the last say, so how bad do we feel? We have to look at every little thing we do, and I've tried to bring up a few of the transitory things that we do foolishly every day, at least I do at times, to learn from. But besides peace and thanksgiving and thinking about our Lord, there's nothing else that will develop our life and contains the knowledge revealed to us in the Scriptures for food that brings joy, not conformed to this world. This too is enjoyed in the activity of life and love towards others, our participation in our ecclesias and in what we do, and how responsibly do we take that? When there's something to be done, do we run and get that done? Or do we put it off and say, someone else will do it if I don't do it? Oh, I don't have to be there on time. I might be a little late today. That's okay. Are we transforming our walk with the Lord when we are with our brethren? And we show God how much we love Him by how much we do for our brethren, even when they rub us wrong, even when we don't want to be around that certain brother or sister. Do we take the time, figure out what's going on, so that we don't have those issues when we partake of the memorial, to clean our slates and start over again? The enjoyment of God and that which is in His presence leads to this activity of soul searching. And it's a daily item that never ends this side the veil. When a joyful liberty that Christ brings and gives us through this transformation work, like we saw with the butterfly, turning into that beautiful butterfly, actually unfolds. We see that in our brethren that have passed. Do we make them examples and pictures for what we want to do? And brethren, the one thing I wanted to repeat that was part of the scripture that the sister came up, I put it up on Esau here. Romans 12, 1 and 2, through the Phillips translation here, it is so beautiful. With eyes wide open to the mercies of God, I beg you, my brothers, as an act of intelligent worship, to give Him your bodies as a living sacrifice, consecrated to Him and acceptable by Him. Don't let the world around you squeeze you into its own mold, but let God remold your minds from within, so that you may prove in practice that the plan of God is for you, it's good, and it meets all His demands and moves toward the goal of true maturity. Brethren, are you maturing in the Lord? Are you keeping your sacrifice on the altar? Are you being seasoned by your sacrifices? We pray that the Phillips translation allows you to think how and what you can change in your life to transform yourselves in a way that would be pleasing to the Lord. And once again, we ask that the Lord would overrule anything that we may or have said or done amiss, and we pray that His name was blessed by this discourse. And once again, the brethren from Columbus send much love. They kept telling me that. So may the Lord add His blessing.